Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Gemara 4 lines from the top. You'll notice in the outside margin, as a standard feature of the Gemara Markings Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition, we offer topic headings entitled Nosei on the outside margin. In addition, we also offer Mivneh headings when needed, which feature structural notes that explain the various geometric forms as they appear. In this case, our topic heading, the Nosei, reads, you'll notice in the outside margin, Lul HaPasuach Mibayis Laliyah. For our purposes, we will explain this as a situation of a staircase going from one floor of a house to another, and we would describe it as an enclosed staircase, whereby at the bottom of the staircase there is a door, a regular door with two posts and a crossbeam. You open the door and you start climbing the stairs. When you get to the top of the stairs, you encounter another door that upon opening it, you then enter the second floor. The Gemara, fourth line from the top, Itmar, Lul posuach min habayis laliyah. An opening from a ground floor to a second story, as we said, involving a staircase. Omar Rav Huna, Yim yesh lo pesach echod, chayav b'mezuzah achas. If it's a staircase that has one door, and the other end of the staircase is open, then it's chayev in one mezuzah. You're obligated to put a mezuzah at that one door that's part of the staircase. Im yesh loy shnei psachim, if there are two doorways to this staircase, chayev b'shtei mezuzos, then you'll need two mezuzos. It may be noted that when we speak about doors, it doesn't necessarily mean a door that you open and close. It's certainly, well, at the very minimum, it's a situation where leading you have a two upright beams and a cross beam, which is the basic necessity for a mezuzah to be placed. Omar Rav Popa, Shma Mino Mida Rav Huna, from Rav Huna's teaching regarding the staircase, that if it has two doors, then you have to have two, if it has two entranceways, you'll have to have two mezuzos. We can learn from this, Hai in the Runa, a room, the Is Le Arbo'o Bovi, that entering this room you have four entranceways, Chayav Ba'arba mezuzos. You'll have to have four mezuzos. In other words, a mezuzah for each entranceway. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, what is Rav Popa trying to explain that I couldn't have figured out on my own from Rav Huna's din? So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, I need Rav Popa's elucidation, afalgav derogil b'chad, that even if one of the four entranceways entering this particular room is more commonly used, has more traffic going through it, even so, the other entranceways will also need to have mezuzos. Rashi elaborates on this particular halacha with regard to what has been spoken about in the Gemara previously, regarding situations where you have multiple doorways. But for our purposes, we will rely on that which it says right here. Omar Amemar, Hai pischa da'akarna chayav b'mezuzah. Before going any further in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading in the outside margin. Deles, a door, bekeren zovis shel bayis, that is positioned at a corner of the house. The ein lo elo potsim echod. The door that is being described here has only one upright beam. The truth is that this heading will actually hold off on for a moment. Before we get to this topic heading, we should really discuss another case. And the case is the doorway, as we mentioned, at the corner of a house. We have a diagram that explains this. In the inside margin, you see a little star, Pischa da'akarna, a doorway at the corner. So the house is drawn, and you can see how the doorway is positioned at an angle in the corner. So Amemar says that this is chayav in a mezuzah. Omar le Ravashi la Amemar. Ravashi asks, v'ha les le ptzimin. It appears at first glance that there are no upright beams that form a doorway. In other words, at first glance, it looks like the ends of the walls reach the edges of the door without a formal door frame. So, if that be the case, so how can there be a mezuzah? Amale, so he answers, Amemar answers, Adi Ptsimi. The Rashi explains, Adi Hare, Klomar Elu Roshe Haksolim. In fact, the heads of the walls, hein tzimen, they constitute the upright beams. We'll have to assume, of course, that there's also a cross beam that is necessary in order to mechayev a mezuzah. What we have done with our diagrams, the next diagram is a cutaway version, or with the door is there, but with your ability to see through it, you see the heads of the walls and a cross beam as well. But the Rosh Hiksolim are featured in our diagram, and those are sufficient for being mechayev a mezuzah. In referring to our topic heading, the Nosei, we will read it. There are two points that we want to bring out. One covers that which we just discussed, and that's what we've written in the outside margin, Delas Bekeren Zovas Shelbayis. And the second point is that which we will see now, Delas She'ein Lo Elo Patsim Echod Ubatzat Smoil. The Gemara will mention a doorway that has only one upright beam, and it happens to be on the left-hand side of the door. Turning now to the Gemara. Rav Papa Iklo Lebei Mar Shmuel. Rav Papa visited Shmuel. There's another girsa that reads, instead of Rav Papa, Rav Mori. Chaza hahu pischa delo have le elo patsim echod mismola v'avido le mezuzah. And he saw that there was a doorway that had only one upright beam, and it happened to be on the left hand side of the door, and there was a mezuzah. The diagram that we hope illustrates this, you can see, is illustrated in the margin under the title in the outside margin, Patsim Echad Mitzad Smoil. What we've attempted to illustrate in our impressionist style, as we mentioned in a previous shiur, this artwork is of an impressionist style, namely the author's impression is that this is what is discussed. There's a door whose hinge essentially is at the very corner of the house, and there's a little door handle you can see, so that the door swings open without a doorpost on its right-hand side. As we saw in a previous Gemara, these door hinges were in effect pegs that were coming out from the bottom, the bottom's corner of the door, and from the top corner of the door, the peg going into the ground, and the door swinging on that peg, one in the ground and one in the ceiling. So in this illustration, you notice that there is a doorpost, only one of them, to the left part, left side of the door. So Rav Papa noticed this setup, and he asks, he raises a question, continuing in the Gemara, Amalei, he asks Shmuel, Keman, based on whom are you putting a mezuzah on such a doorway? Kerevi Meir, are you basing yourself on Rebbe Meir? Rebbe Meir, we will see later in the Gemara. The Gemara will be asking my Rebbe Meir. There's a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and further down, you will see a corresponding arrow, at which point the Gemara will deal with identifying this comment of Rebbe Meir that is being referred to here. But Rav Papa nevertheless asks, are you basing yourself on Rebbe Meir? Amar Dioma Rebbe Meir Miyamin. Rebbe Meir does speak about a doorway that has one doorpost, and yes, having a mezuzah, but that's in a case where the doorpost is to the right of the doorway. Mismoil mi Omar. If you have a singular doorpost and it's to the left, does Rebbe Meir say, under those circumstances, even under those circumstances, you need a mezuzah? That question is left, so to speak, as is. In other words, you have a statement of wonderment on the part of Rav Papa, and he says, I don't see a basis for having a mezuzah under these circumstances of the Patsim Echod B'tzad Smoil. Now the Gemara looks into the background of these of the things that were just said. My he, from where do we know that you need to have right-sidedness? Desanya, the Tanaic source, begins here. You see a two-line framed section. Let us note through our markings that Rav Papa's wonderment is characterized by two points. He said, and if we reread that his question, which is a statement essentially, a statement of wonderment, he says, Omerle, Keman, based on whom are you putting a mezuzah on a singular post entranceway with the post on the left side? Kerebi Meir. Now, we've dashed underline Kerebi Meir to draw your attention to the fact that that's one point. And he goes on to say, Amar Diyama Rebbe Meir Miyamin. Granted, Rebbe Meir speaks about a singular entranceway, a singular post entranceway needing a mezuzah. That is, if it's to the right, the singular post is to the right-hand side of the entranceway. Notice we've dashed underline miyamin, because that's a second point we will want to focus on. Mismoil mi Omar, did he say that if you have a singular post to the left-hand side, that also would warrant a mezuzah? At this point, you notice we have a bracketed section. What has happened is Rav Papa states his wonderment, and essentially that's the end of his point. What the Gemara does now, and you can see we have a long bracketed section. The purpose of these brackets is simply to show that up till this point, Rav Papa's statement of wonderment has been mentioned. The brackets contain the background for what he said. And we mentioned that he cited two points. The issue of rightness, right-sidedness, and Rebbe Meir. With our markings, you'll notice triangles that appear in the bracketed section. These triangles are designed to highlight the Gemara's sourcing, the two points that Rebbe Rav Papa alluded to. The first triangle deals with the issue of right-sidedness. Where do we see that the mezuzah is placed on the right side? And the second triangle features my Rebbe Meir. So that between these two triangles, we will be able to account for the two points that were dashed, underlined, right before these brackets. These are explained in the various notes that we have associated with this sugya. You can see the vertical, or this double star that you see to in the margin to explain these brackets. We've written sograyim elu, these brackets, this bracketed section, enom ledivug, is not for skipping, ela marim, the brackets simply show the ad kan, until the brackets, mistayim temihasoy sharav popa, Rav Popa's wonderment is ends. Besoicham muva kol horeka, within the bracketed section will be all of the background. Under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have a triangle featured, and we've written there, She'elois Reka L'divrei Rav Popa, questions involving the background for Rav Popa's comment. We will also see a house marking that will do the following. They are Mekoros, D'chol Dovar Hanosun Derech Biyot Tzorich Litno Miyamin. Something that is placed as at a point of entrance, when you have to place something at a point of entrance, you are to place it on the right side. Now, turning to the Gemara. My he, what is the source that the mezuzah is placed on the right side? The mezuzah, as we just mentioned in our introductory comment under the Mivneh heading, has to do with something that is placed. The mezuzah is placed at an entrance point, what we call derech biyah. So the sanya, the Gemara gives a source. Bei Secha. This is a word from the Pasuk that mentions the mezuzah. And the word Bei Secha equals Bi'oscha min hayamin, your entrance, and it mentions from on the right. Ata omer min hayamin o'eino elo mismoil. You say right, maybe left. Tamud lomar Bei Secha. That in and of itself isn't very clear. It's just citing the opening word, Beisecha, again. The Gemara asks, my Tamuda, how do you see that entering has to do with the right? Omar Rabba. You'll notice we have a house marking around Rabba, and we indicate this is number one. As we mentioned earlier, we're looking for sources that when you place things at entrance points, they are placed on the right side. So Rabba says, I can explain how I know that, how I see it from the Pasuk. He says, Derech bi'oscha, the word beisecha is associated with the way you enter things. Min hayamin. And you enter from using the right. What does that mean? The chiokar inish kare, when a person is about to take a step, the yamina okar beresha. He takes his first step using his right foot. He puts his right foot forward. So that's called the style or the practice of entering. Entering is with one's right. So this idea of right is also associated with right side of a door, doorpost. Rav Shmuel bar Acha kamei derav popo mishmei derava bar ula omar mehocha. He feels that you can cite the following as a source for this idea of entrance way, entering is associated with right side. This pasuk is a five-line quote, and it has to do with the placing of a money collection box next to the Mizbeach, and it's a posuk in Molochim, and it says, Vayikach Yehoyada HaKoyen Oroin Echod, he took a box, Vayikov Chor Bedalso, he made a hole in the side of the box, the Vayitain Oisoy Eitzel HaMizbeach Miyomin Bevoi Ish Beis Hashem. We've dashed underlined the key words here. The box was placed to the right of the Mizbeach upon a person's entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. V'nosnu shomo ha-koyanim shomrei ha-saf es kol ha-kesef ha-muvo Beis Hashem. And the koyanim would place the money that's collected in that box. What we need to focus on is that when you see the word bevo, meaning entrance, you see it associated with yomin. So too, when you're dealing with placing a mezuzah in an entranceway, you will place it on the right side. So entering is associated with right. So we have two sources that indicate this idea. You have Rabbah's interpretation of the word beisecha, meaning derech bi'oscho minei amin, he picks up his right foot first, and you have this approach that was said in the name of Rav Ba'ula from the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim. So now we've established the significance of right side for placing the mezuzah, because the mezuzah is also associated with an entrance way. What about the idea of the one post as being sufficient for placing a mezuzah, namely a one-posted entranceway, and that that being associated with Rebbe Meir? This was what Rav Papa mentioned before the brackets. So here we're now going to investigate that second point, the reference to Rebbe Meir, my Rebbe Meir. What did Rav Papa intend when he cited Rebbe Meir? Desanya, the following source, Bias She'emo elapatzim echad, a house that has a doorway that has only one doorpost. Rabbi Meir mechayev a mezuzah, v'chachomim potrin. Rabbi Meir says it's chayev to have a mezuzah, and the Rav Chomim exempt. But once again, we have to just bear in mind the previous piece of Gemara. We're talking about a doorpost, but it would have to be on the right side upon entering. Here the Gemara now investigates the sources for each one of these two shitas. Rabbi Meir saying that a singular doorpost is sufficient to warrant a mezuzah, and the Chachamim disagreeing. Mai taimo de Rabbanan, what is their reason? Answer, mezuzos ksiv. Mezuzos appears in a plural form, and the minimum plural is two. And the word mezuzos beisecha, the word mezuzos, when it's used in the context of mezuzos beisecha, it's a reference to the doorpost. The name of the word for doorpost is mezuzah. We associate the term mezuzah with the parchment that's placed in the doorway, but technically speaking, the word mezuzah in the context of this pasuk, mezuzos beisecha, is a reference to the doorpost. The door posts that form the door frame. And the word appears in the plural, meaning two. My time other Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that a singular door post would also warrant a mezuzah. The Sanya, the Brisa, cites the word mezuzah as it appears in a couple of places. Mezuzos, shomea ani, miut mezuzos, shtayim. The posuk mentions mezuzos, and the minimum of mezuzos is two, being the minimum plural form. Kishuomer mezuzos beparsha shnia, we have mezuzos mentioned in the first paragraph of Shema, which is in Parshas Voeschanon, and in the second paragraph of Shema also, the Vohoyo im Shemoa paragraph, which is in Parshas Ekev, you also have the word mezuzos in a plural form. So the Brisa says Kishumer Mezuzos Paparsha Shnia She'ein Talmud Lomar. There's no obvious need to repeat the word Mezuzos again. So what is to be understood? Have a ribui acha ribui. It's a word that includes, in other words, ribui meaning multiple mezuzos, and it says it twice. This is a structure of legal analysis called a ribui acha ribui. V'ein ribui acha ribui elo lema'et. When you have a situation like this, we have two inclusive expressions, including multiple doorways, one after the other, it serves to do the opposite in actual, and it actually reduces. And in this case, miato hakosuv lemezuzah achas, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. The fact that the word mezuzah appears in the plural on two occasions, it actually comes to reduce the number of doorways that are necessary for a mezuzah. The number, they reduce not the number of doorways, but the number of doorposts that are required, that you don't need to have two doorposts. Even a singular doorpost will be sufficient to warrant a mezuzah. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that is the approach taken by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Eino Tzorich, you don't need that particular approach. Kishomer, when the Pasuk says, Al Hamashkeif Al Shtei Hamzuzos, this Pasuk is in the context of the blood application of the Korban Pesach. And here, you see, it says, Shtei Mezuzos. That even though the word Mezuzos is in the plural, you see the word Shtei attached to it. She'ein Talmud Lomar Shtei. You don't need to write the word Shtei, because if you would have written, if the Pasuk would have written the word Hamezuzos without the Shtei, I would have understood two on my own. Therefore, the question is, Ma Talmud Lomar Shtei? Why did the Pasuk spell out that? Answer, Ze Bono Av. This teaches a rule. Kol Mokom Shenemar Mezuzos, when you see the word Mezuzos without a number attached to it, eino elo achas. It, in fact, includes a case of a singular doorpost. Ad shifro lo hakosuv shtayim, until the posuk delineates or specifies two. If it doesn't specify two, I have the right to understand even one. There is essentially no obvious machlokis on a practical level between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Other than their machlokas concerns the source. What is the source for a singular doorway, a singular doorpost doorway warranting a mezuzah? So Rabbi Meir is basing his opinion on that which is contained in this source, either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, both of them agreeing that a single doorpost is enough to warrant a mezuzah. You notice that the bracket section ends here, and as you just look back over the Gemara, you should see how Rav Papa mentioned his wonderment at the case of the single doorpost entranceway that he saw by Shmuel, where there was a mezuzah placed on a single doorpost that was to the left of the doorway. That amazed Rav Papa, and we can now understand the basis of his amazement, and that's based on the information contained in the bracketed section highlighted by the two triangle parts of the Gemara. The first triangle representing the source for right, and the second triangle highlighting the source of Rebbe Meir, the basis or the background for Shitas Rebbe Meir, that a single doorpost could warrant a mezuzah. However, coupled with the first triangle, it's a single doorpost provided it's on the right side. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Minayin shiksivas mezuzah hi al klaf velo al mezuzas havayas atzmo. From where do we know that the writing of the mezuzah is on a piece of parchment which is then subsequently attached to the doorpost, as opposed to going right up to the doorpost and writing the mezuzah on the doorpost? The source begins, the Tana Rabbanan, and we have a source of Savta, which is a quote from the Pasuk dealing with Mizzah. Yachol yichtevena al ho'avonim. Does it mean that I should write the mezuzah on the stones? Assuming that the doorway is made of a stone frame. So do I write the mezuzah on the stones forming the doorway? Ne'emar kan ksiva, v'ne'emar lahalon ksiva. In the context of mezuzah, it says, uchsavtom, al mezuzos beisecho v'sherecho. And in the case of the divorce document, a get, it says, v'chosav lo, Sefer Krisus. Ma lahalon al ha-sefer. Just like over there by the get, it's on parchment. It says in the Pasuk, Sefer Krisus. And Sefer indicates parchment. Aftan al ha-sefer. So too by mezuzah, it's a writing that's done on a piece of parchment. Oy klach l'derech zu. Or possibly, if you're going to darshan the word uchsavtom, there's another direction things could take. Nemar kan ksiva. It says in the context of mezuzah the word uchsavtom, which means a writing. V'nemar lahalon ksiva. There's a pasuk that says v'chosavto al ho'avonim. Ma lahalon al ho'avonim. Just like over there, it was a ksiva, a writing on stones. Afkan al ho'avonim. So too, maybe over here, by the case of mezuzah, I should understand it to be a writing directly on the stones. Nire lemi domeh. So we have to investigate which case mezuzah more closely resembles. Donin ksiva hanoheges ledoros, miksiva hanoheges ledoros. It would seem most likely to compare, to derive a writing that is something that applies generation after generation from another kind of writing that is generational, and that happens to be the case of the get. The divorce document is not a one-time in history event. The ein donin ksiva hanoheges ledoros, miksiva she'eno noheges ledoros, and I won't derive ksiva noheges ledoros, like the case of mezuzah, from the story involving the writing on the stones, which was a one-time in history event where the Torah was written on stones. So at this point, I understand that the source for writing the mezuzah on parchment is a gzera shava, ksiva ksiva, from the topic of a get, of a divorce document. We have a semicolon here because this isn't an exact flow. It's a separate idea. Ukemoi shenemar, what we're trying to find now is a source that the writing is with ink. It's more cites a pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyahu, ukemoi shenemar lahalon, Vayomer lehem boruch mipiv yikro elai es advarim ha'ele v'ani koisev al ha-sefer bidyo. We've dashed underlined the key words. You see, the writing on a sefer is with dyo, with ink. The Gemara asks a question. Omer le Rav Acha brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rachmona Omar al mezuzos. The at amris nelev ksiva ksiva? Rav Acha takes a very simplistic or very simple, straightforward approach. The Torah says you shall write on the doorpost. So why not follow what the Torah says? Write on the doorpost. Why is it that you're opting for a less direct form of limud, and namely the gzera shava from the case of get? Omar kro, so Rav Ashi answers, well, if you're interested in straightforward approaches, then take a very close look at what the pasuk says. It says uchsavtom, and we darshan that word as ksiva toma, a complete writing. V'hodar al hamezuzos, and then the writing which is a complete, unbroken typescript, that is then placed on the doorpost. So by the drosha of Ksiva Toma, that will exclude a writing on a doorpost. After all, the doorpost is made of what kind of material? The doorpost is made of either wood or stone. If you take a pen and attempt to write on those materials are full of holes. They're not a smooth surface necessarily, and hence the letters that one writes on the doorpost, if one were to write it directly on the doorpost, would be ragged or rickety letters that are full of holes, and we could not classify that as a complete smooth letter formation, which is alluded to by the term ksiva toma. So the Torah is expecting me to prepare a ksiva toma first, and that can be accomplished only if I write it on parchment. And then al hamezuzos, then I place that on the doorpost. Umeachar dechsiv uchsavtom. Once we have this drosha ksavtom, which is ksiva toma, and we understand that to mean on parchment, hai gezeira shava lamali. What do I need the above mentioned gezeira shava for at all? After all, that above mentioned gezeira shava between mezuzah and get was to get me to this very point that it should be written like the get on a sefer on parchment. But I don't really need that right now, once we've established that the ksiva has to be ksiva toma, and ksiva toma will be accomplished only if you write it on parchment. So from the word itself, ksavtom, I get that, I derive that. I don't need a gezeira shava for that purpose, a word comparison, to get to that result. The Gemara answers, ilav gezeira shava. But we should note, by the way, that when the Gemara asks this question, "Hai gezeira shava lamali," we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and a corresponding star a few lines up where the gezeira shava was introduced at the beginning of that particular Tanaic source, opposite where the above star is drawn. The Gemara is now trying to answer the question of what do I really need the gezeira shava for. The Gemara answers, ilav gezeira shava, had I not had the gezeira shava and had only uchesavtom, have amina, I would have thought lichteva a'avna. This is a very tricky thing here. The word lichteva here means use a chisel and etch out complete letters. You can have a ksiva toma by chiseling away letters into the stone. V'lik be'ah asipa. So that what I could do is, in effect, chisel a piece of stone and then set the stone with the parsha of Kriyashma chiseled onto it, set the stone asipa in the doorway. So al mekayim uchesavtom eksiva toma, and then the hodar al mezuzos. And by placing this stone that I just chiseled out with the kriyashma chiseled into it, the parsha of Shema and v'hoyahim shamoa, and then placing it in the doorway, I would accomplish what uchesavtom al mezuzos suggests. How do I know that I am supposed to write the mezuzah on a piece of parchment? Komash Malon, that's what I need the Gezeira Shava for. At this point, we now turn our attention to Tefillin. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice some geometric forms, and we have on the outside margin a Nose, Mivne heading. You notice a volcano form, Memros Shel Rav Yehuda Marav. We'll see his name highlighted in this marking twice, and a double underline under the expression Lo Nitzrucha. What will be illustrated through these markings is Shlavim, stages, the Havonas in order to achieve understanding, ha de katani afilu ksav echod ma'akvon. The Mishnah mentions that when writing the tefillin, even ksav echod is ma'akev. Superficially, ksav echod would mean that even one letter, if done improperly, if missing or extra, is binding and ruin the tefillin. So the Gemara cites, first we cite the Dibur Masel from the Mishnah. Abra parshi shebet tefillin ma'akvei zu azu. The need to have the four parshos is binding. One would not fulfill his mitzvah if he has only three parshios, three portions that are written. The four parshios, by the way, are known by the opening words, Kadesh, V'hoyo ki aviyacho, Shema, and V'hoyo im Shamoa. So, once I know that I have to have the four parshios, I understand that if you're missing a letter, so it ruins it. So the Gemara asks Pshita. It seems to be obvious. What does the Mishnah have to add Vafilu ksav echod ma'akvon for? Omar Rav Yehud Amar Rav Loi nitzrucha elo lekutso shel yud. The Mishnah in telling me Afilu ksav echod ma'akvon is telling me even the kutso shel yud is ma'akev. We have seen in a previous sugya where this was mentioned in the context of the mezuzah, there is a machlokis Rashi and Tosis as to what kutso shel yud is. But whatever either pshat you take, Rashi said it would be the little extension forming the right hand leg of the yud. If that's missing, so it will ruin the tefillin. So the Gemara asks, well, v'honami pshita, if the letter is not formed correctly, so it's not a letter. So that's also obvious. So once again, what is the Mishnah teaching me? Lo nitzrucha elo leidach derav Yehuda. I need it for another teaching of Rav Yehuda. The Omar Yehuda Marav kol ois she'ein gvil mukaf lo me'arba ruchay seha psula. Any letter that's not surrounded by the white parchment background. In other words, if one letter is attached to another letter, so the letter is not completely, the individual letter is not surrounded by a white background. It's not mukaf gvil. If that be the case, if you have letters attached to one another, it will be unfit. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to when it says afilu ksav echod ma'akvon, namely, even though you basically have the entire letter there, it just happens to be touching the next letter, even so it won't be acceptable. And that's what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. We now turn to Amud Beis Tanu Rabbanan. Before we get into the Gemara itself, we glance at the outside margin. We see a topic heading, the Nosei Mokor, a source, ledalid parshios, bedalid botim, betfilin shorosh. That we're going to see a source indicating that the tefillin shorosh are made of four separate passages. They're ideally written on four separate pieces of parchment, and each parsha is inserted into a separate compartment that forms the tefillin shel rosh. The source begins by citing the words that appear in the different sections of the Torah referring to the tefillin shel rosh. The Tosfos points out the three words that are cited at the beginning of this brisa. One is from Shema, the other is from V'hoyim Shemoa, and the third is from V'hoyo ki aviyacho in Sefer Shmois. So we see the words letotafos, letotafos, letotafos. Three times this word appears. Hare kan arba. Divrei Rabbi Yishmoel. Now, how do you see four? So this, based on Gemaras elsewhere, there is something called Yesh Eim La Mikra and Yesh Eim La Masores. So he sees that two of these words appear in the singular, and that's letatfas, letatfas. Those two would be singular, and the word to tofos that has a vav in it indicates something plural. What we are doing at this point is presenting things in a rather superficial form. There is a greater discussion on this matter that one can find in the Tosfos here at the top of the page. However, for our purposes, from these three words, we can account for four parshios for the Tefillin Shel Rosh. As we mentioned, two words are in the singular, and the third word is in the plural. And the minimum plural is two, so you have one plus two, a total of four. Rabbi Kiva Omer Eino Tzorech, he says you don't have to use that method to arrive at four. You take the word Totofos by itself, and it contains four. How is that? It's a compound expression. The word is made up of Tat and Pas. Tat bekaspi equals shtayim. Tat in the Kaspi language, tat means two. Pas beAfriki. Pas in the African tongue equals shtayim. So you have two and two in the word. So the word totafos is essentially a compound word. The original meaning of that word comes from the original Hebrew that has been preserved by the Kaspi people and by the African people. And hence we can see that there is an allusion to four in this word. Tana Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source. Yochol yichtaveim al arba oiros v'yanichem ba'arba batim ba'arba oiros. Could it be that the Tefillin Shel Rosh is prepared by writing four separate pieces of parchment, the four parshas on four oros, four pieces of parchment, placed in four compartments, the four compartments made from four different pieces of leather? In other words, you would have four separate small compartments and put them on your head simultaneously, and that would be okay. We know that that's not the way tefillin are constructed. Talmud Lomar, ulezikaroin bein einecha. The word zikaron is in the singular. Zikaroin echod amarti loch. One zikaron, in this case one sign, velo shnayim shloisha zikronos, and not multiple zikronos. So the Tefillin Shel Rosh has to be something of a singular nature. Now, it's a singular nature, but on the other hand, there are four parchments, four parshas, each one on a separate parchment. So how do you resolve these two ideas, the idea of multiple parchments and one zikaron? Ha-ketzad. How is that to be accomplished? Answer, Kosvan al arba oiros, you write the parshas on four pieces of parchment, umanichon bedaled batim, and you put them in four compartments, beor echad. The four compartments are really from one piece of leather. In the manufacture of tefillin, a piece of leather was taken, and leather in its raw state is flexible, not like the hard tefillin, which is the final product, but the original leather from which the tefillin boxes are made was flexible, fresh leather. That leather was then taken, one piece of leather was taken, and then put on a mold. The mold having, we'll say, four finger-shaped mold. If you can imagine four protrusions, and the leather, the singular piece of leather, was draped over these four fingers, if you will, and eventually the mold would mold the tefillin into the required shape. But what we have described is that your basic tefillin shel rosh has four compartments, but they are all part of one piece of leather. The Brisa goes on, the im kosvan beor echod, here we have a new point. If you wrote the four parshias of the Tefillin Shorosh on one strip of parchment, v'hinichon bedaled batim yotza. So you have to imagine a long piece of a strip of parchment, and on the strip of parchment you wrote the four parshias, the four separate parshias constituting the Tefillin Shorosh. And then you took this long strip of parchment and folded it in such a way, made, let's say, four folds, and each fold was inserted into its respective compartment. You are yotze that way. V'tzorach shiyeh revach b'neihem divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, there has to be a space between each parsha. V'chachomim omrim eino tzorach. You don't have to leave the space. The shoven, there is agreement. Shenoisein chut o meshicha bein kol achas ve'achas. There is agreement that a string must be inserted between each compartment. The im ein charitzon nicker psulos. Charitzon is the depression or indentation that, if one is familiar with your standard Tefillin Shorosh, you notice that there are indentations that demark the individual compartments. So the Bryce is telling us, if this indentation is not noticeable, then the Tefillin Shorosh are posel. Tonu Rabbanan, another Tanaic source. Ketzad Koisvan. How are the tefillin written? Tefila shel yad koisva al or echad. The tefillin shel yad, the arm tefillin, the tefillin that are placed on one's arm, the contents of it, the parchment, is lechatchila, one piece. This is different than the case of the tefillin shorosh, which lechatchila is four separate pieces of parchment. With the tefillin shayad, it should be on one piece. Ve'im kosva ba'arba oros, v'nicha bebayis echad yotza. If you wrote the four parshios of the tefillin, and here we're talking about the tefillin shayad, on four separate pieces and placed them together in the singular compartment that constitutes the tefillin shel yad, you have fulfilled your requirement. V'tzorach l'dabek. This first opinion, which we'll see we'll soon see, is Rabbi Yehuda. He says the four pieces of parchment that you used for writing the tefillin shayad should be sewn or glued together. In other words, even though you wrote them on four separate pieces of parchment, we still want to have them joined and unified into a singular piece. And that can be accomplished through sewing or glue. Why is he so concerned that they be joined? Shenemar v'hoyo l'chol li'ois al yodecha. K'shem she'ois achas mibachutz. Just like when one notices the tefillin shel yad, it's a singular box, meaning it's not like the tefillin shorosh, which had multiple compartments, but it's a singular entity. So just like on the outside, it appears as a singular entity. Kach ois achas mibifnim. So to inside, this is indicated by the word lecha, that it shall be unto you, namely something that only you are aware of. It also has to be singular. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This section has been taught by Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the need for the four separate sections of the that were prepared as tefillin shayad must be stuck together, must be glued or sewn together. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzorach. Rabbi Yossi says they don't have to be glued together. On Rabbi Yossi, Umoide li Rabbi Yehuda Beribi. Rabbi Yehuda Beribi is Rabbi Yehuda that was just referred to. Beribi is a title meaning wise man. The great Rabbi Yehuda will agree to me. Shim ein loy tfilin shel yad v'yesh lo shtei tfilin shel roish. If a person has only, he doesn't have a pair of hand tfilin, he has only two tfilin shel rosh, two boxes that are tfilin shel rosh, shetoyle or al achas mehen umanicha. He can take a piece of leather, cover the one of the tfilin shel rosh, and attach that to his arm by putting the or on top of it. It will appear to be one box. And the main point is not in the words, but you have to spell it out. He is. This is going to be acceptable, even though, don't forget, it was a tefillin shel roish. So the interior of this, in effect, has four separate parshios. They're not attached. What was just said then in this source? Rabbi Yossi claims that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this contingency case. The Gemara asks in wonderment, Moide hainu plugtayu. How can you say he would agree? This is exactly their machlokas, namely, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for the tefillin shel yad, you have to have the parshios attached. Rabbi Yossi's contingency case involves the use of a tefillin shel rosh as a tefillin shel yad, but the parshios are not attached. So how can Rabbi Yossi claim that Rabbi Yehuda would concede to him, to Rabbi Yossi? Omar Rava, midvarav shel Rabbi Yossi, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi says what he does, that Rabbi Yehuda will be moideh, chozar bo Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda retracted what he originally said and holds now that they don't have to be attached, that the parchments in the tefillin shel yad do not have to be attached. The Gemara now asks a question on this entire suggestion, namely the suggestion of converting a tefillin shel Roish into a tefillin shel yad. How can that be done? Any, is this in fact acceptable? V'asholach Rav Hananya mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan tefillah shel yad oisin oiso shel rosh. A tefillin shel yad can be made into a tefillin shel rosh. V'shel rosh ein oisin oiso shel yad. A tefillin shel rosh, though, is not allowed to be made into a tefillin shel yad. L'fi she'ein moridin mikdusha chamur l'kedusha kala. The tefillin shel rosh is viewed as something having a higher level of kedusha than the tefillin shel yad. Without getting into the background for that particular assumption, for our purposes, it will suffice to say that the tefillin shel rosh has a higher level of sanctity, and as is well known, one is not allowed to take things that have higher levels of sanctity and lower them to be used as an item of lesser sanctity. If that be the case, so since we have this rule of Ein Morid Magdusha, how could it be suggested at all someone who does not have a tefillin shel yad can take a second tefillin shel rosh and use it as a tefillin shel yad? The Gemara answers, Lo kashya, this does not have to present a problem. Ha be'atikta, ha be'chadita. The Isser of Moridin Bekedusha, of lowering sanctity level, that exists only if you're using something that had been used as a higher level, an already used item, and then using it for something else. That's Atikta. Atikta literally means old. In this case, it means used. However, if you have a new tefillin shel rosh, it has never been used. It was only designated as a tefillin shel rosh. Chadeta meaning chadash, new, unused. Then we don't have the problem of moridin b'kedusha, because it never, since it was never used as a higher as its designed higher form, there is no problem. The Gemara asks, or let's say, elucidates, Ulaman domar hazmona milsehi. There is an opinion that says that even if it wasn't actually used, the fact that it was hazmona means designated for as a tefillin shel roish. The mere designation is sufficient for granting it or bestowing upon it the higher form of kedusha. So, according to that opinion, how could a tefillin shel roish possibly be used as a tefillin shel yad? The Hesber is, the asni olayu meikora, when they were being made, even initially, before he made them into a tefillin shirosh, he made it with a condition, that if I should ever need this as a tefillin shel yad, I should be able to use it. So this precondition is able to forestall the higher level of kedusha from setting in. At this point, the Gemara deals with the order of inserting the order of insertion of the parshios, and we have a title to this sugya, the nosei, Seder Hanochas HaParshios B'Soch Tefillin Shel Rosh, the order in which the respective portions are put into the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So the source says, Ketzad Sidron, how is the order to be established, or what is the order? Kadesh li v'hoyo ki aviyacho miyamin. Let us note that these two parshios come from Sefer Shmois, Perik Yud Gimel. Kadesh li is from Psukim Aleph through Yud, and v'hoyo ki aviyacho is from Psukim Yud Aleph through Tezayin. And it says that they are on the right. Shma v'hoyo im shamoa mismoil. Shma is from parshios v'eschanon, and v'hoyim shamoa is parshios ekev. So, if you just looking at this line and you read it across, you see that these parshas are presented in the order in which they appear in the Torah. This line of Gemara becomes the subject of a very well known machlokis between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. It's based on Rabbeinu Tam's explanation of this line that we have the practice that many adopt of having a pair of tefillin called Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Their machlokis has to do with the order of the parshas. We are not going to get into Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Simply, as far as Rashi is concerned, the order of the parshas are from right to left. You have Kadesh, Ve'Giviacho, Shema, Voyim, Shemua. The Gemara asks, V'ho Tanya Ipcha? But we have a brisa that teaches the opposite, namely, Shema v'hoyim shamoa would be to the right. Before going any further, let's just review an obvious point. When you talk about order, especially when you're dealing with Hebrew, you go from right to left, so that which is earlier would be expected to be to the right. And as you keep going, moving over toward your left, you're reaching that which is found later on. So that's why we found it significant to mention the location of each one of these four parshios. And we even went so far as to say that the line of the Gemara in which they appear, it reads from right to left, starting with Kadesh Li, which is the earliest parsha. The Gemara raises a seeming problem in that we have a brisa that suggests the opposite, that the on the right side is Shema, and then V'hoyim Shamoa, and then if you were to continue that in that fashion, you would say after V'hoyim Shamoa would be V'hoyaki V'yacha, and finally Kadeshli. Amar Abaye lo kashya, there's no contradiction between these two sources, it all is a matter of perspective. Lo kashio kan miyamino shel korei. Korei is the person that's not wearing the tefillin, who is facing someone that is wearing tefillin. When we say not wearing tefillin, it's just for the sake of illustration. All you have to imagine right now is two people facing each other. They're, to make the illustration simple, one person is wearing tefillin shel roish. the reader, the person facing him, starts on his own right side. In other words, the opposite his right side on the head of the person wearing the tefillin, opposite the reader, the reader's right, what's the first parsha? It will be Kadesh, followed by Vayikra V'yacha, Shema, and then finally Vayim Shamoa. Maintaining the same exact scenario, however, looking at things from the vantage point of the person wearing the tefillin, which parsha is above the wearer's right side? Well, in that case, the parsha of Shema is on the wearer's right side. And that's what is meant here, kan b'yaminoi shel miniach. Va'korei korei kesidron. The person reading it, namely the one who's facing him, will in fact be reading them in order. Because if to the right side of the person wearing them is Parshas Shema, the person standing opposite him, the Shema is to his left. So the person reading, starting on his right, will be reading them in order. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.